This is the Diehards.
Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivitsky.
Shockwaves around the NBA. Welcome to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Bobby Krivitsky and Shukri Wrights coming to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston, Massachusetts. Shu, everyone listening, they've got to be aware by now that Kevin Durant has filed for divorce from the Brooklyn Nets. What was your reaction when this came out?
Not surprised. And the reason why I wasn't surprised was because, in a way, I just had a hunch there was two guys on this team, Kyrie and KD, who are talented scorers, talented basketball players, but the problem got exposed during that first round series against the Boston Celtics. The issue isn't whether they can play together. It was a lot of the antics that went on during the 2021-22 season. And that, when it came to a full screeching halt, KD said, you know what? I think I'm gonna head out now while I still can. But it's shocking, but at the same time, there's a lot of layers to this. So it's not a surface level story at all.
When Kyrie opted into his deal, I think a lot of people looked at it and thought they're going to run it back for one more season. And that's a totally fair evaluation in real time.
Because
they're title
too.
Contenders, yeah. If they can get their heads on straight. And really, I mean he instead of they when I say that. But nonetheless, Kyrie, more than anything, was protecting his money.
That's all it was. Yeah.
He wasn't getting it from anyone else, and he wasn't leaving money on the table to go to L.A., not roughly $30 million at least.
Exactly, because he wasn't going to get $36 million anywhere else, let alone the Los Angeles Lakers. Not because of a lack of a talent, but who in God's green earth is going to turn around and offer him that kind of money when he doesn't want to show up for work?
How can you? And this was his hand-picked destination. He controlled it more than Kevin Durant,
yeah.
And you saw how he acted, and he was the root of the problem. So how can you invest in him if you're another one of these teams? Stick with us here on the Diehards, because we are going to dive into this NBA free agency. We got Gambling Corner with professional sports handicapper Connor Mack at 8:40 Eastern. All that and more coming up next on the Diehards. You're listening to the SportsMap Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivitsky.
You're listening to the Diehards here on the SportsMap Radio Network. Bobby Krivitsky alongside the legend himself, Shukri Wrights, coming to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston, Massachusetts. We're going to get to the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving divorce from the Brooklyn Nets. There's a slight chance that they end up on the Lakers together, but most likely only Kyrie heads to the purple and gold. We're going to get into that, but right now let's talk about some stuff that is definitively playing out. And Shu, that includes a matter that we talked about on these airwaves last week, and that is Bradley Beal re-upping with the Washington Wizards.
I mean, no surprise. I mean, considering that my hope as a Celtics fan was that if he didn't re-up with the Washington Wizards, that maybe, just maybe, the Celtics would make a run at him. But, I mean, Bradley Beal is one of the better guards in the league, and him getting that mass contract with the Washington Wizards, it's no real surprise. So the only take that I would have is he took it because of the money. I mean, how many other teams in the league were going to give him the kind of contract that he just received just a few hours ago? Only maybe a handful at most? Yeah, but outside of that, I wonder, what are the Washington Wizards going to do to build around him? Because there is next to almost nothing in terms of talent that's surrounding Bradley Beal in down in Washington. He needs help. He can't carry the franchise by himself. It's great to see him get paid, but I wonder what is the Wizards' plan moving forward for this offseason and next year to build a playoff contender down in Washington for the Wizards.
Offseason's just starting, but the East is too deep, and they're not good enough to even get into the play-in tournament if I'm predicting the top 10 in conference,
no.
Right?
They're not in your top 10. If you try to predict the play-in tournament for 2022-23, they're not in your top 10.
You want to talk to me about some
they
pieces?
Are already.
You know, Rui Hachimura, Denny Avdia, some stuff there. I like Kyle Kuzma, who might be on the move. We'll see. But, you know, there's some pieces there. It's not enough talent, though.
But even if Kyle Kuzma stays there, it's like, okay, nice piece, but he's not a difference maker.
Right.
Like, if you want to compare the Washington Wizards right now to, let's say, the 76ers when they were beginning to really step into the process, so to speak, that's kind of like where they are. They have one star piece that you know of. Everyone else is basically like good role players. That's where they are. And that's not good enough to get you to the play-in tournament. And I just wonder, like, if you're the Wizards, you give him that kind of contract, okay, I'm not worried about his production. Let's just hope that he can stay healthy and continue to produce at a high level. But my God, get that man some help down there, please.
So Beal goes for 5 years, $251 million max contract. And where it gets interesting now is a lot of people, myself included, think that this is just let's revisit the matter next year, because we don't think they're going anywhere barring something unforeseen or playing over their heads next season. So it's probably at best play-in tournament. We don't think they're headed there.
Right.
And then at that point, I think that Bradley Beal ultimately, kind of like Kyrie, took the money with the intention that he's going to ultimately ask out of Washington as much as he loves D.C. And so I think next summer is when most likely Bradley Beal, now that he's got the bag, heads somewhere else.
And I'm curious to see, like, if this is the plan, like, moving forward, because I really want to have an opportunity to look at the contract details. Does he have a no trade clause or like a team of teams that he could say, you know what, I want to go to this this team if I decide that I want to get traded, and so forth. But I have a very difficult time envisioning Bradley Beal staying in Washington long term. This is a scream long term commitment. This is a short-term deal, but he's getting the max annually, and he's the only guy on the Wizards that I look at and say that's worthy of receiving that contract.
And there's no doubt about that. And here's where it gets interesting, is that Bradley Beal, I think he's the third best player on a championship team.
By far.
Not even number two. You look at some of these crunch time games with Washington, it's Kyle Kuzma with the ball in his hands, not Bradley Beal. You look at Bradley Beal
at
the free throw line in crunch time, doesn't always come through, looks a little not ready to meet the moment.
Right.
Timid's a great word for it. And so with Beal, I look at it and say, if his numbers aren't so hot this season,
right,
and he's asking for a trade after he's the face of a team that misses the play-in tournament or gets there and gets bounced, then that value at that contract as he heads into his 30s,
right,
is not so hot.
And and we know what happens, especially when guys, scorers, like, get on that wrong side of 30, you start to notice that tick and decrease.
He's a little undersized. He's like 6'4".
Exactly. He's 6'4", which is, as you mentioned, undersized. Like, typically, guys in his position are probably 6'7", 6'8", you know, that have length, that can be able to withstand punishment. So you got to wonder, at some point, is his body going to begin to break down? And I do wonder, and I am concerned about that. We're not talking about someone who is like Kemba Walker size or Isaiah Thomas size or anything like that. But when you have been playing in a losing environment for as long as Bradley Beal has, it does affect you mentally, because when the pressure gets turned on, can you handle it? And so far, we've seen the answer has been no. What the heck is Kyle Kuzma doing in crunch time with the basketball when your best player on the team should be the one taking or attempting the game-winning shot? So a couple of key points real quick. If you put him, let's say, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, or Boston, you know immediately that Bradley Beal is not the best player on those teams.
You're comfortable.
Not even close. Milwaukee, obviously, that's Giannis. Philadelphia, that's obviously Joel Embiid. But here in Boston, obviously, that's Jason Tatum. So you wonder, yes, production has been solid, but you could also say production house also has been like padded stats. They haven't really come in meaningful minutes.
Empty calories, for sure. let's get to you. Bring up Philadelphia. We know the top dog's Joel Embiid. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, James Harden and the Sixers will meet this weekend to negotiate his new deal. He's reportedly going to leave money on the table to help with their pursuits. They've already signed, most notably, P.J. Tucker today. Unofficially, deals can't get inked just yet, but they've agreed
to
terms.
I'm fired up.
So Philly,
I'm fired up for
they
for
know
Philly,
that
yeah.
that bench needs to get a hell of a lot better than it
and,
was
and
last
that's
time
a
we
great
saw them.
First, for great, and a great first step because we've talked about P.J. Tucker on this show in which P.J. Tucker is the kind of guy that you need that's going to provide you grit. Whether he's coming off the bench. And in select games, he may start. Not saying that he's a starter, but like let's say
he can fill the role.
He can fill the role, exactly. So you get him from Miami. That is a massive punch to the stomach of the Miami Heat. Considering that, listen, yeah, they got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and you needed a guy like P.J. Tucker to help win an NBA title last year if you're Milwaukee. But now you bring him to Philadelphia, and you're going to bring him on a team that already has Tobias Harris, that's already got Tyrese Maxwell. This is a really interesting move for Philadelphia, which is why I've been looking at them over the last 3 years. They're there, but they need just a little extra push because Joel Embiid cannot do it by himself. Although he's more than capable, but he
you
all superstars.
No one does it by themselves.
Exactly, no one does it by themselves anymore.
And so with Harden, it's interesting because that P.J. Tucker dynamic, that past relationship from their time together in Houston, mm-hmm. where they both had their career seasons, you need as many people as possible who can get in the face and light that fire under Little Game Jim. So when he doesn't show up, you know, yes, Joel Embiid will get on him. But you want P.J. Tucker, especially someone like P.J. Tucker, to be right there, too, to say, lock in, James. We need you right now. You mm-hmm. need as many of those players as possible. So P.J. Tucker, a great fit, I think, from a culture standpoint and helping them on the court.
Absolutely. And he's going to fit into Philadelphia very, yes. very, very, very quickly. A city that I know well and have lived in previously before moving here. That they have a very no-nonsense type of approach to basketball in Philadelphia. And for the Sixers, for the organization that has been knocking on the door of potential greatness but have not been able to get over the hunt, you need a guy like P.J. Tucker. And I do think that his impact on the culture in Philly is going to be massive because we saw, like you saw last year, that Joel Embiid, obviously him being far and away the best player on that team, although I'm not saying this because he's my favorite NBA player, but there's no question outside of what we've seen from the superstars, Joel Embiid is the most impactful in terms of what he can do and as well as on the defensive side of the court as well.
Philly fans, they're happy about the P.J. Tucker addition, mm-hmm. but they're also more attention's being devoted to can they get Kevin Durant? Can they be the franchise that pulls it off? We're going to discuss KD. We're going to get into Kyrie Irving and this whole mess that's going down on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and basketball insiders Bobby Krivitsky.
All right, Chu, we talked about it at the top of the program. Now let's really dive into the matter. Yep. Kevin Durant sending a seismic shockwave through the NBA landscape, telling the Brooklyn Nets, it's over, I'm not coming back. And here's where I actually want to start, and that's on the Brooklyn Nets side of this whole ordeal, because it's the NBA is the hardest league to win a championship in, and they have two pieces in Durant and Irving who, when things go right, they can give you that Larry O'Brien trophy in return for that investment. And they have decided instead to bet on their culture that they're not giving a long-term deal to Kyrie. And pretty much at that point, it means moving on, that they weren't bluffing. We'd rather move forward with what we built before you guys came than both of you.
Honestly, there is no shockwave for me. The only thing that's shocking is the fact that Kyrie decided that he was going to take the $36 million.
Protect his money. It's
to
a smart move.
Protect his money. But I want to go deep into this one because KD was part of the package deal for Kyrie. in 2019, the summer of 2019, 3 years ago to the day, really. And when it happened, it was like, okay, Brooklyn may be that team for the next 5 years and so forth. Here we are 3 years later, no conference final. No NBA championship. Eastern Conference first round sweep. You're the only team that didn't win a single game in the first round. And you also happened in the last 2 years to get beat by teams that went on to go to the NBA Finals. Milwaukee last year, Boston this year. Something is rotten in Brooklyn, and it's not necessarily just KD and Kyrie. It's the organic makeup of this team that I have a problem with, and I'm seeing exactly why things have not worked out in Brooklyn now 3 years into this relationship.
Sure, you got a great eye, because Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports went on NBA TV this afternoon, and he said that basically Kevin Durant and his representatives were not impressed and cited a lack of leadership in Brooklyn. Now, if you want to say that stems from sacrificing too much of what they built up before those guys came and giving them too much power, that basically, you know, the decision to hire Steve Nash, that didn't come from Sean Marks or Joe Tsai, right?
So that was a player's decision.
That was a player's decision and a totally logical one in the moment, but maybe a more experienced
coach. No. I'm gonna challenge you right there.
Okay.
No, that wasn't a logical decision. I think that's exactly why the collective rear ends are in the position that they're in now.
But
because a player, you see, this is the problem that I have in sports. Sometimes when the players have too much power, it works against them.
Right.
They feel that they are quote unquote running the asylum. And in this case of the Brooklyn Nets, not only has it left them with burnt, charred wood, but has left them with absolutely no foundation whatsoever. You wanted to get Steve Nash in the door. Oh, those guys don't need to be coached. Kyrie, well, we don't need to be coached. We have all the talent in the world. Okay, let me know how the heck that works. It doesn't work, because guess what? Your arrogant, pompous donkey of yourself decided that, well, we have all the talent. The talent can take care of itself. We don't need leadership. None of that matters. And here's what's hilarious. We in Boston legitimately warned Brooklyn the summer of 19 that this was a thing. We got laughed at. I was like, okay, no problem. Time will tell. I even said to myself on social media that time will tell. You can go ahead, laugh, and say, oh, we got the best player, right? One of the best players in basketball, arguably the best player in the world right now in 19 at that time. Okay. But Kyrie ain't worth the headache. 3 years later, here we are talking
take
about
him. Take him away from us.
Now, KD's like, you know, I want out of it. I can't do this no more.
And you know what's funny, Shu? That Cavs fans tried to warn Celtics fans, this is what the experience
is. Oh, that's true.
And Celtics fans were Nets fans. What are you talking about? It's going to be different here. This guy's amazing. He's now in a big market, kick rocks. Brooklyn fans, he wanted to come here. He got his guy in KD. This ends in championships. We're not trying to hear it. You guys are wrong. And this is who he is. But look, I've also seen James Dolan holds the Knicks back more than anyone else. There's been front office regimes across sports that ruin it for their franchises or the primary problem. It can be any group that is primarily at fault. But in this particular case, I do think it's justifiable in the moment that when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving come to them and they have all the power and say, we want Atkinson gone, that they say, fine. And they say, naturally, who do you want to get? And I don't know how they came up with Steve Nash, but they came up with Steve Nash. I can understand. It is justifiable that they got these guys their guy, because all they needed was someone to manage the stars.
And
you want to say Steve Nash
didn't
do a good enough job managing the stars, that it went off the rails like
but
this?
Honestly,
fine, but it's
Bobby,
understandable prior to having hindsight.
But, Bobby, here's the problem. In what world? And I'm not yelling at you.
No, you're good.
But what freaking world does it work when you bring an inexperienced head coach in the NBA?
Steve Kerr.
Like, Hold on. Wait. Hold on.
Okay.
That is literally, that's like a rarity outside of the norm. But in this situation, how does it work that you think that you're going to bring in a guy who has no head coaching experience to manage a talent like Kyrie? And I say this because here's the difference in Cleveland and Brooklyn. Cleveland, you had LeBron. Kyrie wasn't running the show. That's the difference. LeBron was running the show in Cleveland. And right, and understandably so, because he was the best player in the world at that time in 2017. Undisputed. Now, you talking about Kyrie running the show in Brooklyn, and KD is, who was never the alpha, right, always the beta guy.
I think KD wanted to go to the Knicks, and Kyrie in the situation.
He influenced and said, no, come with me to Brooklyn, come with me to Brooklyn. Tell me how that worked. Because in the end, all you've seen from Kyrie, let's go back to 2020. Don't play basketball. There are bigger issues going on. I'm not getting the vaccine, so I'm going to exercise my right and speak for the voiceless. Come back, and then you suddenly, when you come back, you're not even entirely a full-fledged form of what you truly are capable of. So at this point, when you stop pointing the finger at the leaders, or like they're all blaming the players? Because to me, this is ludicrous at this point.
Well, so you know what it speaks to? Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Your whole focus there from the Nets when they're trying to replace Atkinson is, we want someone more than anything else, mm-hmm, to manage Kyrie, to keep the trade on the tracks. So the idea that we go with the guy that Kyrie suggested and advocated for makes a lot of sense. And at the same time, if they say, you know, we need someone with experience who's more disciplinarian than Steve Nash, now you're going against Kyrie's wishes with the goal of managing Kyrie Irving above all else. So it's kind of like there was no solution that was going to work because Kyrie is that mercurial of a figure.
But that is precisely the reason why I am of the belief that if you're looking to win with Kyrie being the lead guy, it's not going to happen. Because
he can't be the best player or the leader.
Like, he can't be the leader. No, he can't be the best player. He can't.
He cannot be the best player.
No, he can't be the best player. In this situation, yes. But as far as in terms of him being the leader, oh no, you might as well put a blindfolded Sandra Bullock as your captain of your team to lead the ship. I'm serious, because all you're going to get is, well, I want things done my way, and if it's not done my way, it's the highway, and right, I'm not happy, and I'm walking around with the biggest attitude of a prima donna that if I don't have it my way, I'm not happy. And that's exactly who Kyrie is, and he's shown that time and time again.
You ran down their shortcomings. They had three top 15 players at one point with James Harden. Nothing to show for it, not even a conference finals appearance.
Exactly.
Is this the greatest disappointment in NBA history?
The greatest? I give you top three or four. I'm not willing to go top number one all time, but man, you know what? It's up there. It's definitely top three. And when I think of top three, I'm still thinking of the 2015-16 Warriors as the number one disappointment of all time in NBA history. You're up 3-1 in the NBA Finals, and you collapse in 2016. That's number one for me, but they're up there because, number one, you had Kyrie, you had KD, you go out and you make the trade for James Harden. That was supposed to be the final piece to the puzzle until the injuries tore apart the team during the 2021 playoffs, which I understand and whatnot. Fair, I'll give you that. But when you had all three healthy, ready to go, Kyrie choosing not to get vaccinated, fair. Okay, you want to say, oh, my body, my choice? Fair. But when you're in team sports, if you cannot see the ramifications of how this can impact everyone else, that's where your problem lies.
By the way, it seems like Kyrie, at some point, maybe he has to wait. I bet you he gets bought out, reunites with LeBron James in L.A. And the Lakers, they have such limited resources that they desperately need this to play out that way, where Kyrie hits the open market to join their team. Stick with us here on the Diehards. When we come back, it's Gambling Corner with professional sports handicapper Connor Mack. That's the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Kravitsky.
You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Bobby Kravitsky and Shukri Wrights coming to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston, Massachusetts. Shu, let's pick it up where we left off. We've talked a whole lot about where does this rank among all-time NBA disappointments? How did the Nets get here? As we talk about how they move forward now, and we look at it from a Kyrie Irving standpoint, because he's really at the center of this dysfunction. It is interesting. You talked about his time with LeBron. It seems to me, and according to Stephen A. Smith, he went on ESPN and said, Kyrie is telling everyone he knows that he's going to reunite with LeBron in L.A. It's really just a matter of when. But the Nets aren't running it back with Kyrie without KD. The Lakers have a ton of leverage here. They really don't have to trade for him or give up anything of consequence. Not that they have it, by the way. I just think that this ultimately ends with Kyrie in a purple and gold jersey this coming season.
I don't even think the Lakers really need him. Because listen, I still look at this team as a team. They're good enough to make the playoffs, but obviously they definitely need to make tweaks because this is an older roster we're talking about that you're talking about you're expecting them to compete in the West, in the Wild Wild West, that is Golden State, Phoenix, Dallas, and Denver. You if you're the Lakers, you absolutely need to make tweaks. But do they need Kyrie right now? No. Because I'm willing to bank money that Anthony Davis will be healthier next season and that he will be productive when he's healthy. We know what Anthony Davis is capable of and what he can do when he's right physically. But if you are LeBron, I sincerely would ask this very simple question. At this stage of my career, why do I want to play with Kyrie Irving again? Honestly and truthfully, why?
It's a great question, and we're going to bring into the conversation right now as we go to the Progressive Guest Line, Connor Mack, professional sports handicapper for Pub Sports Radio, a GFOP, meaning good friend of the program. Connor, let's start with this discussion here about the news. What was your reaction, and where are you at now as you've had some time to marinate on Kevin Durant filing for divorce from the Brooklyn Nets?
Oh, you know what? I thought it was just, thanks for having me, of course, guys, here on this Thursday. I appreciate it, Bobby. Just the norm. You know, the Kevin Durant saga continues kind of in his career, right? From Oklahoma City, that all, then the Warriors winning championships, won the lead, to do it on his own. And it seems like, you know, when you're a top five player in the league, and even Kyrie may be right outside that, these marriages seem to be very short-lived.
Yeah, they certainly do seem to be short-lived. Connor, let me ask you this, and I'm more looking for the angle, so I'm putting you on the spot here. I don't need a specific team or odds or anything like that, but as you start to see everything unfold, is there an angle or any advice you would give people in regards to looking for, hey, maybe I can get a favorable play in terms of next season's win totals or go as far as to start checking those championship odds? Is there anything that starts to come to your mind of that nature as free agency just gets underway?
You know what? There hasn't been a ton, but I'll give you one look because we're so early in it. But a lot of people, this is kind of a controversy with Brunson going to the Knicks. I kind of like what Mavs have done a little bit with getting Wood. Obviously, they need length down there. That was just a problem for them. It was Luka and everybody else. Brunson could help out at times, flashing guard. But I think that works out, and I think now he'll just be kind of a star in with the Knicks. Brunson will be, and I love the Wood move. And now they just signed McGee. I just saw that a couple hours ago, three-year, $20 million, a good backup. But I think that could be a move. Maybe look for this Mavericks. Can this team step forward out in the West and get something done? Even the Nuggets with Murray coming back, that could look good. They sewed up Jokic. So maybe a Nuggets Mavericks. I look at them at their odds. Obviously, I think
did we lose them?
Connor, I think you went out there at you're starting to say you looked at the Denver Nuggets odds. It Nuggets, sounds like we have you right now if you want to pick it up from there. Checking out the Nuggets and the Mavericks odds.
Connor, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, so you were coming in and out, but we got you right now. So if you heard me, where you cut out was when you were giving us, I'm starting to look at the Nuggets and the Mavericks odds.
Yeah, just trying to be real quick. Sorry, I'm always in my office, the same spot I always am. I don't know what's going on. I'm just looking right now. I like the moves they made. I don't mind Brunson leaving. I like the Wood signing, even McGee as backup. They needed length down low. That's early teams because we're just so early in it. But that's what I'd look to, a team like that in the West. In the East, I haven't really dissected it enough, but that's who I'm looking for.
Connor, as I'm thinking about the New York Knicks now, and I don't know, it's strange on such a day that the NBA world has been flipped upside down, and I am roasting Kevin Durant. But the big trade between Dallas and the Knicks, this is not the first time those two teams have done business with each other. We remember the Kristaps Porzingis deal that went down just a few years back. But in terms of Brunson going to the Knicks, and you think about key players on the New York Knicks, like Julius Randle, who had a down year last season, and now you're bringing Brunson to the fold. What are the odds that those two could actually be part of a resurgence for the New York Knicks next season and catapult them into the playing tournament to get into the playoffs?
I think it's going to be great. It just seemed like so dysfunctional, and you talked about it, Randle, after such a great year. Him just kind of falling to the wayside a little and just having such a bad year and kind of turning back to the Knicks of the last 15 years, you know, after that good season. I think that I like it for both sides. I just said I loved it for the Mavs. I like this for the Knicks. I think, you know, Brunson could be a guy. He's in New York City. And for a guy like Randle, I think that only helped him. Is first of all, a slasher that can cut. And we all know Randle's potential. He's better than what he was last year. It almost seemed like he was going through the motions that second half of the year. And I think with Brunson here, now with getting him, I want to see what the rest of the Knicks do here in free agency. I think they'll be back in the playoffs, definitely. I think they could be, you know, a 6-7 in that realm. I don't know if they jump a 4 seed and above. You never know. But I think they're back in the playoff Knicks, depending on free agency here.
Connor, you know these segments fly by, so let's shift gears while we still can here to get some MLB talk in. Whether it's a game going on right now, plenty of them underway, whether it's a series outlook or a matchup on tomorrow night's slate, what's some MLB action that you have advice for our listeners from a betting perspective?
Excellent. I love both these late night games going off tonight. Let's get right into them. Padres, Dodgers here tonight. Joe Musgrove, Mitch White, Dodgers finally get that win so they don't get swept in Colorado. I think this is a great. Joe Musgrove just had COVID, came back, and kind of got hit a little bit. Obviously, we see the Phillies scoring a bunch of runs today. I still think they're a fade with Bryce Harper hurt, but that'll be down the line, I think, going forward. Scored a ton of runs, but they got to Musgrove. First game all year where he gave up 4 more runs. He has been dominant all season long, 8-1, 2-1-2 ERA. He's been phenomenal, and now he's got that extra rest. The COVID, he's off that. That's 10 days behind him. I think he comes back and pitches well. He's pitched well against these Dodgers in the past. I'm on the under here tonight in Padres, the Dodgers, and I went full game. You get it right around -118. That's what I got. And I love these bullpens enough. Padres have blown up for me once this year, and they did it the other night against the D-backs. They gave up 6 or 7 runs in the ninth inning. It was ugly a few days ago. But other than those few really bad blows, the bullpen's been excellent. So instead of going first five, I like to go first five with starters these days. I'll go full game under 8 in that one. And let's touch on the next one real quick while I have you guys here for this other game. A's Mariners, another great game. Here, Logan Gilbert, one of the studs in the league that I just think is a great pitcher, young pitcher with dominant stuff, 25 years old. I love this guy. A's, you know, they play the Yankees tough. They took the lead a couple times, but in the end, they lose. And they're just not that good. They're just not that good of a baseball team.
Connor, bring your little inside baseball right now. I'm staring at Yankees fan Shukri Wright, who is also wearing an A's cap.
For style, for God's sakes, for style.
I didn't think you were flip flopping.
Not at all. I'm just adding a little extra cayenne pepper to.
But you are absolutely right. They played them tough. You got to give them that.
They did. It was definitely a terrific four game series this past weekend. But in terms of Major League Baseball and where we're headed right now, what is the over under, in terms of Major League Baseball All Star Game starting odds? Now that we're now entering phase two of the All-Star Game balloting in Major League Baseball?
That I'm waiting for the final thing. So I will wait on that. I do love to get involved with the All-Star Game because it is a little bit fun. I wouldn't advise anyone maybe to go, you know, when we talk about units or go, you know, all your bankroll, stuff like that. But I think it's definitely fun. As soon as I know all those, I love to do a little home run derby. You got to have a blast while baseball's off for those 4 days, and it's perfect for the All-Star game. So I'm waiting just on the players and everything. I'm sorry, I don't have anything on that until everything's set.
All good there, Connor. Let's talk about what's going on the links. JT Poston off to a pretty good start today over at the John Deere Classic. What is your advice on how people should approach this event?
Oh, this is excellent. I love to talk golf. I have JT Poston real quick. I took him top 10. I do not have him to win. Last night when I took him, I found him at one of the spots, plus 650. Now, for him, after that unreal rounding shot, he is around 3-1.
That crazy shot out of the bunker?
Oh, just unreal. He played so good. I'm rolling off as a golfer. I like to go through everything. You know, I go through all the stats, but I like to go off guys. Golfers get so hot. They go on for 3 or 4 weeks, and it kind of can be their year for a guy like JT Poston. I know he's still a young guy, but a good Sunday like he had last week at the Travelers, and that's why I took him top 10 last night. I thought he'd come right back and play well here. He has. But let's find some value down the line. The numbers just came in because some rounds just finished up about an hour ago for the late guys. Let's run through a few. The guy at 20-1 is Scott Stallings. I have him top 10. I did not take him to win this week. You could have got him over 35-1 just last night, but he's 4-under. He played great on Sunday. Another guy, you know, kind of a 15 years on the tour, but playing well. In a tournament like this where none of the big guns are here, none of the stars are out in this field. I mean, top guys were Hadwin and Webb Simpson. Both did not have good days. So we're even more defined value here down the line. I wanted to creep on a few more guys. He shot 3-under. I did take this guy to win was Cam Davis. You can get him around 30-1, 35-1. I got him yesterday at 46-1, 45-1, excuse me. He's a guy who's been playing solid golf, solid scores just lately. So he's a guy now you can still get a great number if you're looking to put a little money here. If you're big on the betting golf, because in this tournament, a lot of people are taking their week off. I find so much value here with all those guys out of there. This just makes me want to go even more to get value on we're going to get a winner, I think, with a really great number. Last guy before I stop here real quick is Charles Howell III. Played well again here. Just a steady guy. And the one thing is, though, putting here is not very difficult. It's third or fourth easiest on tour here at the John Deere. And we all know Charles Howell over time has had struggled putting. Had a solid round 3-under today. You can get him anywhere from 25 to 30-1. I think he's a nice look if you're looking to start heading to Friday next round and then into the weekend.
He is Connor Mack, a professional sports handicapper for Pub Sports Radio, a sharp among sharps. Be sure to tail his picks if you like making money. Connor, thanks as always for your time and your insight.
Thanks so much, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Stick with us here on the Diehards. When hour number two kicks off, we're going to be talking about a major development in the world of college athletics. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivinsky.
You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Bobby Krivinsky and Shukri Wright coming to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston, Massachusetts. Hour number one coming to a close. Shu, let's start by telling them what's on tap for hour number two. We've done the whole NBA deep dive, right? Mm-hmm. Off-season outlook. Who's going where? Big name staying put, surprise, surprise. Yeah. KD and Kyrie, it's over in the BK. Yeah. We just had Gambling Corner, making you more money from professional sports handicapper Connor Mack. Hour number two, we have major news from two different Bruins franchises, if you will. One in professional hockey that we're about to get into, and then the college landscape, a dramatic shakeup that Shu and I will give you our thoughts on. We're also going to dive into some MLB talk. And, of course, Shu and I every Thursday have been going division by division in the NFL to give you our takes on the hierarchy in each and every team in those divisions. Today, it's AFC East. That's coming your way at 9:40 Eastern. Shu, why don't you tell the people where they can find you on social media?
On Twitter, you can find me at Shukri Writes. Thank you to all who follow me there. Eclipsed 10,000 plus followers. So thank you all. At Shukri Writes is where you can find me.
Let me tell you something. If you don't follow Shukri Writes, you're a bozo. You can follow me at Bobby Krasinski.
Wow, way to go that far.
It's a fact. The people who follow you, they stamp that as well. You can follow me at Bobby Krasinski. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Diehards. If you were there for the first hour, we appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed it. But hit us up on Twitter. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you didn't, where we can improve. We get it wrong sometimes, believe it or not. Hour number two, starting with some major news in the NHL that's coming up on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.